I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. Tommy, thanks for the introduction. Joining us, as always, rounding out the trio, it's a man wearing a burgundy t-shirt.
I'm Adam Knox, wearing burgundy.
Yeah.
Milk was a bad choice.
Folks, if you're out there, if you've got the lockdown blues, chuck on a little film called Anchorman. Absolutely yes. Piss funny. Us and all the other blokes at the footy club, we just absolutely love it. Real laugh riot.
I love it, and I love Wham!
Whoa.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, who knew I would have gotten away with never having formed a personality? Less important than they said it was growing up.
Well, I guess we'll be talking about Anchorman in a few weeks on the bonus episode series that we're doing right now over on our Patreon. We are counting through the, we're doing year by year, the 2000s. Mm. We're 2 weeks in, and you can get that right now at our Patreon. You chip in a little money every month, and you get an extra episode every week where we talk about all the pop cultural stuff that's not video games. And yes, at the moment we're doing the early aughts, music, movies, TV. Mm. It's a lot of fun.
We'll have observations about Anchorman, like the fact that it is actually a good movie. Same with Borat, where like... Yeah. There's a big difference between liking Borat and quoting Borat.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I remember, here's a little sneak peek for the episode we're going to do on it. I remember going to see Anchorman in the cinema and laughing the entire way through. It is a great, very funny movie.
I remember going to see Anchorman in the cinema, but convincing my friends there to watch Collateral instead.
Oh!
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, damn. Save it. This is too good. Yeah. This has got to be behind the paywall.
Nah, this is free. I've already started the story. Because I didn't think Anchorman looked any good. So I was like, why don't we see Collateral instead? And I think pretty heavily pushed my point there. Like,
yes.
It's Tom Cruise, but he's the villain this time.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie, for sure. But I tell you what, the weekend after Anchorman comes out, if you go and have a little lunch in the schoolyard and everyone else is talking about Anchorman because everyone's a 14-year-old, Anchorman exactly hits them right between the eyes, you're not winning any credibility by going, yeah, but what about Jamie Foxx's dramatic turn?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, when people around you in the schoolyard were pointing at you and going, 60% of the time, you're wrong every time. You're like, what?
What are you talking about? Is that a hitman thing? Because that's all I care about. It was really stupid. But it goes to show how much political sway I had in the group.
I was going to say, this is no offense, but this is a weak group of friends that are just like completely had their plans changed by... It's not like it's two movies that both looked great. I mean, yeah, Collateral was good, but it was a real what even is this film? Is this going to be any good?
You were in a gang, Knox, in high school. Were you the leader of the Rowdy Rebels?
No, this gang wasn't even formed yet as well.
Wow.
I don't know what the fuck happened. Maybe it's got to be that heaps of us thought Anchorman might have been bad. Right. Because trailers that they'd show on TV for movies back in the aughts as well were fucking awful all of the time.
Yep.
They made especially comedy movies, and I guess this is still kind of the case, look like they'd be dog shit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
So I might have been right in terms of what we were shown of both beforehand.
Mm.
I watched a trailer for a film that just kind of came up. I was searching for something else on Amazon Prime, and this just came up as like a, you know, this is similar or whatever.
Mm.
It's a film called Mr. Fuzzy Pants, and it's like a body swap movie. Kevin Spacey.
Oh, I've watched this.
Yeah, have you actually seen it?
I have actually seen the entire movie.
Okay.
It's directed by the guy who directed the Men in Black movies, and it's like a body swap. Kevin Spacey, kind of absent father, goes to get his daughter a cat as a gift, and then he ends up trapped inside the cat's body.
Yeah.
And the thing that's awesome about it in the trailer is like, it just looks so low rent because he's talking, it's Kevin Spacey's voice, but they haven't bothered to like make the cat look like it's they've just shot a cat. Yeah. And then just had him dub. It like looks so low rent.
There's two or three shots that they've like CGI'd the cat where like the cat will jump into a wall and bang against it and then go.
Right.
And
cool.
Like would kind of slide down the wall. But other than that, yeah, it's just shots of a cat with Kevin Spacey over top being like, oh God, I wish I wasn't a cat. Hey, why don't you come back to my cat trailer and we can run some lines together, young actor. He says that in the film.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. They had hiding in plain sight.
They had animal mouth technology in Babe, and that was years ago.
Mm.
They were doing that. That's wow.
They did more in Mr. Ed.
Yes. Yeah.
Animal mouth technology is a group of words that together make me feel really uncomfortable.
It's my band. Yeah. It's my Tool cover band.
Yeah, nice. Hey, speaking of bad trailers.
Yeah?
Can I tell you a trailer that I thought was all right?
Whoa.
I reckon I can guess because I had the same reaction.
All right. Let's go.
I don't think I know the name of the game, though. Pokemon, blah, 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 blah.
Wrong. Collateral, starring Tom Cruise. Yeah. Pokemon.
Pikachu's evil in this one.
Pokemon Legends Arceus?
Arceus, yeah.
Arceus, whatever the name of the Pokemon that it's named after is. Pokemon Legend, Pokemon Breath of the Wild.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've only seen a little bit of this. This is like a full trailer that's come out. Yeah, you're about to say they did a Pokemon Direct kind of thing where they showed off a little more of the Diamond and Pearl remakes.
Right.
Nothing too interesting in the rest of it other than this quite long trailer that shows a bit more of a look, because really all we'd seen of this so far was your character kind of like walking through the wild. Not too much of an idea of what you'll be doing.
Mm.
But this one, yeah, much longer, much more involved trailer. Bit more of an idea of what you'll be doing, but it's still a little unclear to me, at least.
Right, because it is that open world thing of like, we've seen instances of fighting a Pokemon or catching a Pokemon or running around or, you know, having the flying traversal and a horse stag thing. But in terms of, what's driving you, what the story or the thrust or the plot is still unknown, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear, or at least we haven't seen anything yet that suggests the sorts of like puzzle-y or dungeon elements that were a big part of what made Breath of the Wild so fun to explore, that you would find these unique parts of the world that had interesting things to do.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't have any of that. There's like one town that they show off, but towns in Pokemon games are boring generally. It's a bunch of people standing around and they'll be like, I'm wearing shorts today. Fuck off.
Yeah. That last one, was it Sword? The
Sword
and Shield,
yeah.
They literally copied templates for multiple towns. I remember being like, that's just that street flipped in reverse. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the
most. This is set in like a time that's... The really interesting thing about this is that it's set before the kind of formalization of Pokemon battling, right? So gyms and stuff don't exist yet, and there's not that whole kind of like infrastructure that is like the driving force of the mainline Pokemon game. So this is like kind of seems like it's doing a bit of a not quite feudal Japan, but certainly sort of sort of ancient days Pokemon world kind of idea, which is cool, which is neat.
It's close to that sort of 1800s era from like Ace Attorney that we saw recently. It reminds me of that.
Yeah.
I'm just watching the trailer again now, sort of here. And it really, really is Breath of the Wild-y in a good way.
Yeah.
Where, you've got like a Pokemon that you're riding on in the water, a little surfboard Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You got a stag Pokemon. You got a flying one. And the exploration and traversal, at least, does seem to be pretty much the same kind of thing.
It looks,
doesn't look segmented in the way that Sword and Shield were.
Right.
But
and very like yeah, very on rails, very like linear. Yeah, it's still really hard to tell because from the original trailer, it looked like it was the big difference was this is all real time and you're actually catching these wild Pokemon by having to do stealth and you know deploy these Pokeballs at the right time. But then this trailer has elements of showing like little bits of turn-based battles in it, but then it also has kind of real-time stuff as well when you're seeing someone kind of running around trying to dodge out of the way of a wild Pokemon that's attacking it. So it's really hard to tell what is the like main kind of thing that you're doing in this. I assume catching them in the wild, but then the little bits of battles that we see in this trailer, I don't really...
I mean,
really
it almost looks like the whole thing is in real-time, but you're throwing out Pokemon as like... party members, kind of. Or maybe these attacks where they're coming up to you before you get into a battle and you're dodging out of a battle, like a bunch of games that have that sort of you can see your enemies in the field type of thing. Like, for some reason, Paper Mario is the one that jumps to mind where you can run away from them and dodge them. So, yeah, it's hard to tell exactly what it'll be, but it's not too far away. It's like January 22nd or something in 22, 28th maybe. Late January. Early 2022.
Yes. Yes.
Later from now, but early next year.
Yeah.
Sort of very, middle very of late January 2021,
you could say. Right. Yeah. The latest possible, yeah. it looks cool. I do like the era that it's set in. There's no formalized gyms, so they're all called James.
It's good. I feel like we've had that joke 10 times for some reason within three or four pieces of content that we've made.
No, but it wasn't a joke that you had in your stand-up. I feel like that's where I got it from.
Maybe that's why.
I swear.
It definitely has come up in something recently.
That is awesome. Turning up your nose at something and then the other person going, that's actually you that I've been quoting there.
Genuinely, well, no, but because obviously I thought about it when you said the word gyms before and I've been sitting on it since then. Yeah. And I was thinking the whole time, I think this is one of Knox's jokes.
Yeah, it definitely was, but I also think that we've repurposed it recently too.
Okay, all right. I don't think we have, but you might be right. Who can say?
I am sure of it, and that's the end of it. We're seeing collateral.
You've been waking up in a cold sweat having dreams of old stand-up sets.
Oh, werewolf warehouses at private werewolf for the middle of the month. Wow.
I'm still skeptical on this Pokemon game, though. I thought the trailer was all right, but I am unwilling to get excited for it.
I think that's a healthy attitude to have towards any Pokemon game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's
if it
the
delivers
reason,
yeah. on what... This trailer looks really good. I think they've done a really good job of cutting together this trailer. So if they can deliver on that promise, I think it'll be great.
Mm.
But I don't have a great degree of faith in them being able to do that because I think they're, a bit of a weird company.
Yeah.
But, because again, it's like this just look... This being a spin-off, it's like this looks like what... We all kind of wished that the next mainline, and a lot of people wish that the next mainline Pokemon game had have been. It's like this is what you thought, like the next gen and being on a console, and this is just so. It's like, well, what is this then? Like, where does this exist? Like, if I worry that because it's a spin, if this was them showing off the next mainline game, I'd think this is going to be fucking awesome. But the fact that it's a spin off makes me think maybe it'll be a little bit half baked, and it'll just be. Yeah, nice terrain to explore and then there's fucking little cunts running around and that's it.
Mm. I could imagine from how they've been with not wanting to change a Pokemon formula in 25 years that there's no way that they didn't hear people going, hey, make the next real Pokemon kind of more like Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey and like make it more open because you've got the technology now. So if this was them sort of trying it out in a safer environment for them and then if it goes well, folding that stuff into the new real Pokemon games, that would make sense to me.
Yep.
I think it's boring, but it would make sense.
Yeah.
Because Sword and Shield were really just so... I've run out of any steam with that Pokemon formula. I just can't... I really tried... With those games and with like Let's Go, Pikachu and all of that. And it's just I'm past being able to engage with the pace of that gameplay is so slow.
Yeah.
It's so repetitive. It's so similar to the three or four other large games that I've played in my life of the exact same thing, two of which they're remaking right now with the Diamond and Pearl remakes, which seem underwhelming to everyone who I've seen have a reaction to them.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. Like, Sword and Shield is kind of fun for a little bit. Oh, cool, new little animals to... This is kind of like, you know, seeing what kind of new ones pop up as you're walking around, but... Yeah, just very samey very quickly. And especially these games are kind of like watered down versions of like a Persona or something like that. So if you've invested a lot of time into that, it's kind of hard to go back to this. And, you know, the simplicity of it is quite charming, but it's, for me, I agree with you, Nox, like it wore thin pretty quickly.
It definitely still has its fans, obviously, but...
I was going to say, I have really never been a huge fan of these games. Like, I liked the first one. You know, I had Red, I think, and loved it as a, you know, 12-year-old or whatever. There are millions of people out there who have uncritical and genuine love of these games and this franchise, and they don't really care about the nitpicking that we do, which we do because, you know, that's the way we engage with the series and the games. But yeah, there's people who just love it. They love the world, they love the characters.
It's comfort food for some people. And I'm like that with certain things, where there's certain things that I enjoy where I'm like, yeah, I just want the same thing again and again. That's why I'm going back in on it.
I would have said the same thing about me with Zelda and me with Mario, though, and it turns out that when they changed it up, it did make it better even for people who were fans of the old version of it. So, like, I don't think there's any reason that them mixing things up with Pokemon would turn away those existing fans
as well,
you know? I don't think there's any reason they wouldn't prefer an objectively better game. Just objectively.
No, absolutely. But they also probably liked Sword and Shield. So it's, you know. But that's not a bad thing.
I think it is. I think it makes you a criminal.
Oh, okay.
Well, speaking of criminals. Yes.
Oh. Big yes to your own segue.
Yeah.
Just
that
wrapped.
Wasn't me or Nox. That was
wrapped.
Just for everyone to know.
Speaking of criminals, oh, fuck yeah.
Big rumor mill in the last week or so, especially, that some remasters are soon to be announced of GTA, what is it, 3, Vice City and San Andreas?
Yeah.
Is it the one pack or is that not specified?
Don't know. It's a bit of big rumor mill for since like 2008 or something as well.
Yeah.
That people have been like, oh, you know, they're going to remake them. But for whatever reason, last week, some sort of weight ended up seeming to be behind the allegations that Rockstar were putting out. It's unclear if they're just remastered versions or full remake versions of those games, Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, the PS2.
What IGN is saying is that it'll be a remaster on the Unreal Engine. So it'll be, I guess, a different engine, but maybe the same textures? I don't know how that would work.
Because you can play, they've got the PS2 versions of those games on the PS4 and 5.
Yeah.
Like, you can buy those games and play them right now if you want to.
Yes, they're on PC.
I'd love if this is like the new Switch Pro rumor where it's like this just gets talked about for 18 months and then finally what it ends up being is just like a patch for the versions of them that are on the App Store.
Yeah, right.
That's all it is.
Because I don't remember Rockstar having done this with any of their games at any point. They've done ports of things, but I'm not sure that they've fully gone back and remastered or remade something to the extent that you could call it a new-ish, whatever, definitions, product. Like, Red Dead is very famously stuck on those old consoles.
Yes.
Because it was so poorly made, they couldn't, put it back together again on a PC or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say what these would even look like if they were to come to fruition.
Yeah,
I wonder if a bit of it is like wanting to update them because they make so much money out of the, the online GTA stuff now, and they're probably still a long way from having a, you know, that's been around for so long. They're still a long way off having a new GTA to be able to monetize in that way. So maybe it'll be kind of a similar thing. Those maps with an online mode added, and then that's like a fresh kind of thing.
Okay.
That audience that maybe never played them back in the day can get into. I could see something like that being the justification for it.
Well, yeah, because there's another GTA 5 port coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
November is that for the PS5 and the PS5, Series X and everything?
I could see them just, yeah, doing this remaster and then in GTA 5/GTA Online importing some stuff into that. So it's like, hey, pay $40 for these old games that have been remastered. And also, for everyone in GTA Online, here's some new skins and maybe a little bit extra land or something like that.
Yeah, maybe you can fly to Liberty City and, and to San Andreas and to Vice City.
Yeah.
That does make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Which
that, that could be the reason. I mean, I never played any of these back in the day, so I'd be, yeah, I'd be down for this. I'd be, I hope this is true and that it happens soon, because, yeah.
They were good at the time. I don't know. Yeah. Like, well, I do know that they have suffered from age.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Part of that is technical issues. So maybe that stuff could be fixed. Like,
that's true.
The controls
yeah.
being a bit outdated now, and the graphics and like the pop-in and all that sort of stuff being noticeable these days. And was at the time as well.
Yeah, I do remember thinking that San Andreas was like, oh, this is like the real world. I'm looking at a one-to-one, you know, the amount of t-shirts you can buy, you can do weights and get bigger. Like, I was like just completely blown away by that game at the time. And yeah, have tried to go back and it's like, this looks like shit and it plays like shit.
Right.
Which is a shame.
But definitely they were great games and I would love to see better versions of them, sure. Why not?
Yeah. 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 I don't know.
But the rumor is as well that they're going to be releasing on the Switch as one of the platforms that they're coming out on, which does make you think, oh, okay, well, how extensive could this be then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going crazy with it.
Yeah. The answer is not very.
Right. Because if I imagine if they're touting that it's going to be on Unreal, it'll be like physics and motion and gameplay that'll be improved, not graphics and textures and shit like that, which is cool. That's still cool.
There's rumors saying October to November this year, so we, if this is true, should find out about it pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
Probably about an hour after we upload this episode.
True, yeah, there'll be a press release, there'll be a trailer, which is great. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, they could add a new mode into GTA Online to kind of sell this, get this out there. Much like the new online mode that's been added to.
Yes!
He's done it again. The new online mode that's been added to a recent favorite of this show, Fortnite. That's right.
Yes.
We're dabbing, we're flossing.
Yep.
We're absolutely loving it over there.
We're apparently still fighting bots.
I was going to say, yeah. I meant to bring it up when we were plugging the Patreon before. If you want to watch us play the Trios version of Fortnite, that's up now for $10 patrons, which is the same tier as the weekly podcast. Yeah, apparently, because it's like the second time we've played as a trio, we're still playing bots.
Yeah.
When does this end? When do we actually start playing real people?
I don't know.
The comment says the NPC bots, blah, blah, blah. So one person saying that we knew that some NPCs were defending story areas and that sort of stuff. Like, it was obvious that some of them were bots.
Yep.
But there are also other bots that like emulate players that can put shields on and have okay aim. A few matches after your preliminary practice rounds is when you start getting it with real players, apparently.
Okay.
So we're still fucking... So I guess that's a series now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us getting our fucking red peas on Fortnite.
Yeah. I don't mind this at all. We just keep going until we actually realize that we're... Definitively we can say we're playing real people.
Yeah.
The first time one of the bots calls us a slur is when we can finish the series.
But I swear, we looked at the player list and like there were players named like, please let me win, 1-1-1-1-1. It's like, that's not a bot, surely. That's a person.
But it's a person who's given a funny name to a bot,
I guess.
Yeah, is this just what the Turing test is now? You just get dropped in Fortnite and can you tell the difference between an NPC and a human opponent?
Yeah, people who were playing us are like, they were definitely bots. They were stupid. The AI was so bad on those guys. But yeah, we've been playing Fortnite. Honestly, we've been having a fun time with it. We went to that concert together. What's not fun, is Fortnite ripping off wholesale.
Segway.
I know. The concept of Among Us, the gameplay mechanic.
But also, I mean, that is what Fortnite did with PUBG.
Yes, it
initially.
Is.
Initially.
Yes, it is.
it's the most sense that any decision Fortnite's made has made.
Mm. They've got this scientist character in there now that's got like spiky blue hair and he's belching all the time and he's in a white lab coat that I swear they've just stolen from a from a popular cartoon show.
It's Among Us. You're running around a map that has tasks on it and you're trying to figure out who is sabotaging the tasks by having real life discussions with actual players. Or for the first 50 rounds, apparently, bots.
Fuck.
But it is very much just Among Us that they've ripped off.
Yes.
But so it is egregious and it is blatant, but it is very, very common within the world of video games to do this all of the time.
Yeah, I think the thing that's most galling is that Among Us are their development team are open to collaboration. They are a small indie team, and Fortnite in this case are like the big bad corporation ripping off an independent artist's work.
They're big enough to go toe to toe with Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is. It does put a bit of a dent, I would hope, in the perception of them as, you know, pro consumer, because this is shitty. I think if you were to play devil's advocate, you could say that the game format itself is not was not invented by the Among Us team.
Right.
You know, that would be their logic, surely. It's Mafia.
Yeah. But yeah. Among Us is the famous one. It's the successful one. And it is obviously, it has obviously been ripped off by Epic to capitalize on that popularity for themselves. Yeah. So it's, no good.
It's weird because this happens all the time with games in every genre that, like, you know, Assassin's Creed comes out and then all of a sudden every game is letting you climb all over buildings. And I don't even know if Assassin's Creed was the first one to do that. There probably was one before it. Like, how far back do you go and be like, well, Epic owe money to whoever made Operation Winback because that had cover in it in exactly the same way that Gears of War did. So it is a commonly accepted thing within the video game world that for whatever reason, plagiarism is less of an issue to people morally between video games than it is in movies and stuff like that. And I don't get why that is, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's extremely common.
Mm.
But even like what's the difference between like them doing that and, you know, a game like Death's Door, which is doing a lot of the old school kind of Zelda dungeon formats. And you know, the difference between that where, you know, people like you and me love that game, Adam, and the way we would describe it is probably like, oh, it's like this, it's cool. It's like a love letter to these old style Zelda dungeons that they're not really making anymore. And so this team kind of went like, it is essentially the same thing, but it's like giving something the benefit of the doubt of going like these creators really like love this format and wanted to do their own spin on it versus like these assholes ripped off this thing for their own benefit.
Well, and then I think it is what you said, Ben, where it's the size of the person doing it.
Yeah. I think the examples you were making before, Nox, about like third-person cover shooting and stuff like that that's like those are mechanics within a larger format that were definitely like, you know, repurposed and became much more commonplace after they were invented by one team. And then I think Tommy, in the case of Death's Door, it's like it's inspired by, like, the entire game is inspired by a genre or a kind of game. But within it, there were creative mechanics that were innovative and the presentation was different. But, I think it's always sort of grey, but you can also, you know, it's like, is it porn? The saying is like, if you'll know that it's porn. Like, the way, like, there's no guiding line, but it's like, if you see porn, you know it's porn.
Right.
And it's I see what you mean, but it doesn't have like a specific definition that separates it from being porn.
Yeah. It's because you can watch an art house film that like shows sex, but it's not porn. And with this, it's like you can tell when something is a ripoff versus an inspiration or something like that. And there's no codified, you know, set of rules. You just kind of feel it.
I get that. Yeah. That makes sense because in that case, in that scenario, this is like the Fortnite Among Us mode is a full-on cum shot to the face.
Yeah.
It is a full-blown. It is someone.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if, like, the people behind Fortnite, if their rationale with this is that Among Us has been around for a while now, it's had its huge kind of cultural moment, and that's kind of been and gone now, and it's sort of, you know what I mean? In terms of it having its peak cultural relevance, like, they probably think, like, you know, we didn't launch this when it was at the peak of its powers, and we could have stolen people away. Like, we've done this as it's... I'm not saying I agree with that, but I wouldn't mind betting that that's their, like, internal rationale for why they're not just, like, really dogging these guys over. But,
and the fact that that is kind of Fortnite's MO at this point is to take other people's shit and then put it in their game.
Right.
Maybe that adds, like, a straw on the camel's back thing where they're like, a fucking gen?
Right. Yeah.
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 Yes. I don't know what the reaction to this has been from people who more actively play Fortnite or Among Us. I don't know how much... regular people, the average Joe Sixpack down at the down at the build site, the average Jimmy Hardhat walking down towards the construction yard, the average Bob the Builder walking down to his job at the fucking thing I pretend to care about is I've been watching so many videos of politicians talking lately.
All skins available in Fortnite, by the way. All of those.
but, like, do people outside of the people who talk about video games on a more, like, esoteric bullshit level...
like we do.
Do people care? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people listening to this probably aren't even aware that this happened.
I mean,
you're either,
yeah.
You're into Fortnite and you're playing it regularly, or you're just, like, you know... you're a confused parent that's, you know, completely tapped out to it.
I mean, I saw...
the two genders.
The two genders.
I saw someone, I think it was on Twitter, we got a like from someone who was verified for our Fortnite. I put up, I think, early access, you know, a promo. And I was like, oh, who's this verified person? And it was a professional Fortnite player whose YouTube channel has, like, 300,000 subs. And their
Give us a fucking share then, cunt.
I know. They're two most
And technically, professional Fortnite player, that's technically us. I mean, we, you know,
yeah,
we generated
that's
a bit
true.
Of revenue from putting up that video.
That's
so.
True. So where is our fucking blue tick? No. their two most recent videos on the channel were about quitting Fortnite. So I do think, and people have said this before, Fortnite
itself.
There has
been a lot of that.
It's on a downward trajectory. So it feels like a desperate move to latch onto a game that is also popular. You're definitely right, though, Tommy. Like, Among Us was at its height May last year, I feel like.
Maybe like August, September last year. It does feel like a desperate ploy from a failing business to attach yourself to something bigger than you. Which, where could they watch that Fortnite video again? Was it at YouTube.com?
No, Patreon.com/FilthyCasualsPod.
Or YouTube. But anyway, I don't know. I fucking hate it when something... I think that definition is right. You can tell when something is plagiarism.
Yeah.
You just fucking feel it.
Yeah.
And this does feel like it because there's nothing... there's no parallel creativity to it. You know what I mean? It's not taken it and then used it for this other thing. It's just this thing, but plonked into their property, which is a shame.
Yeah.
So fuck Epic. But let's get on to, I think, if we're done with perhaps news, let's get on to some more positive discussions.
Yeah, I don't know of anything else going on in the news at the moment.
I think that's it. Yeah, let's talk about what we've been playing this week.
Yeah, who wants to kick things off?
Tommy does.
Oh yeah, right. I'll start us off. Why the fuck not?
Yes.
We talked last week about the Indie World Direct, and there are a few games kind of dropped overnight from that. I started playing Garden Story, the game that I'd been looking forward to from that for a little while. Was rapt to see that it had shown up. Immediately after that presentation on the eShop. So, yeah, it's a game sort of similar to, I guess, Stardew Valley or Animal Crossing, that kind of thing. It's a little kind of cartoon world, very pastel colors. You play a little grape who's given the task of being the new guardian of this little area. And it seemed to me from the trailers to be like, they're kind of... going around getting resources, building stuff, crafting stuff, but then having a bit more of a story to it and a bit more propulsion to it than just, you know.
Not an original idea then.
Yeah, it sounds like a fucking rip-off.
This is pornography.
Yeah, it's cool. It does take a long time to get going, as those sorts of kind of resource gathering games kind of do. Like, it takes you a long time to be, you know, have enough stuff to be like, you know, building a lot of things and kind of really feel like you're in the thick of it.
Right.
But basically the way that it, like, each day it's got a day cycle. You wake up, there's a little notice board of things that people are asking you to do in the town. And they're sort of one of three different categories that's either like fix this bridge, that's like a little puzzle of switches that you've got to hit in the right order to put the bridge back on, collect 5 shards of glass for this, or defeat this many enemies.
Give me the energy to farm.
Hit the shard. Hit the shard, you little fucking grape.
Oh, you fucking do it. What are you, a cop?
But that element of it is pretty cool, and I got into the cycle of that, like the little flow of that is was very engaging, and it just kind of, you know, you level up the town. Like, the more of those tasks that you do, the more you kind of level up and get different stuff from the stores, and I believe that there's new areas that you'll be moved onto once you've kind of maxed out this area. But then I'm now in basically a dungeon that's got like a kind of combat bit in it that's got a boss that I'm having to fight. And I'm finding the doing combat in this control scheme and how it all handles to be very difficult. You have a little sword. You have like a little stamina gauge that you can use to run, but you also use up the stamina gauge every time you swing your sword.
Right.
So it's so time consuming to get in close and get these hits. You kind of move pretty slowly, which is fine when you're just walking around the map, but I kind of very abruptly, having been thrown into this like pretty involved combat thing that's not just like, hey, there's a little thing there on the map, you just got to kill it now, like an actual kind of boss, I am finding it really difficult. And this is the first kind of thing like this in the game that it almost feels like the controls are just not just not built for this type of encounter. So I think I'm a couple of hours in. Like, it just, the kind of like pottering around and the tone and the visual style and the music of it, I've really been enjoying. If I could get this boss beaten, I'd probably be, you know, I could speak more to it, but I'm feeling a bit, I don't know, if it keeps up being this sort of, weirdly difficult to do combat and feeling like it feels like a completely different game has sort of been transplanted on, and you're using a bunch of mechanics that aren't sort of made for this sort of encounter that you're in. So I still don't really know where I land on it, because I do like it overall. I like the tone of it. I think the idea of one of these kinds of games where you're just pottering around a village but there's an actual kind of plot and there's stuff happening is very appealing to me. That's the kind of thing that makes me generally bounce off that type of game, is just sort of, you know, without an end goal, I kind of just lose interest a little bit. But I'm finding the combat a little. Yeah, I'd be interested to know, anyone who's listening who's playing it, how they're finding that. If it's just me, if I just need to, play it a bit more and get my head around it. But it does. I have found it. Very, very jarring in that sense.
And you haven't? Have you looked up if anyone else, if this is mentioned in any reviews or anything? Because
there's really not all that many reviews about it that I could find.
Right.
Yeah, I did a quick Google. I could only find like one review of it. I think just because of the fact that it's an indie that just kind of got shadow dropped. It's not like, I haven't really been able to find too much out there about it. But I don't know if this is just me or if this is a common complaint. Fully prepared to accept that it is just me, but it's weird. It just seems to have thrown this like pretty involved kind of boss fight in as like the first way of doing your actual first big combat challenge. Seems I just am dying again and again and again. But I'm liking all the other stuff about it, so I am going to persevere.
Because like, as much as you know, you're saying it could be your fault and whatever, but you've played harder, you know, like,
yeah,
you just,
you're a Hollow Knight
fan.
And I think maybe that's, but in a weird way, I feel like maybe that's what's meaning that I'm finding it hard, because it's similar to some of the boss fights in terms of like, you know, it's top down and I keep wanting to have like a little dodge to get out of the way and you know, have more attacks, but I'm just like, I'm having to get really in close because I've got this like very short ranged sword.
Right.
And then I'm getting in and it's just, this thing's just destroying me.
It's strange how that sort of thing can happen where there are games that aren't, you know, renowned for being hard, but there can just be a mechanic that doesn't work with the way your brain is set up for whatever reason and you just never ever get good at it. There's like the racing in Wipeout was that for me.
Right.
Where yeah. I just could never fucking figure out how those shitty fucking floating ships were meant to control. And it means that I found those games harder than they seem to be for most people.
Well, yeah. And in a yeah. case like this where it's trying to do a couple of different things at once, if the majority of the game is kind of like going around this little environment and getting resources and chopping down trees and all that kind of stuff, and then 5 to 10% of it is combat, then you're not going to have put the same amount of time into developing the combat as all the rest of it. You know what I mean? Like yeah. if you're trying to do these kind of all different things, it's like probably something is going to suffer and it's probably going to end up being the thing that you're not doing in it as much because they haven't designed it to be a combat heavy game, which yeah, Death's Door is. So obviously that's the thing they really built into it.
That is the main thing I've seen people saying about this game is the positive stuff at least. It's like, yeah, it's nice and chill.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I did have a really nice time. Just on the couch as the vax side effects were really hitting.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like,
well,
getting woozy, getting lost in this little bright.
Maybe it is you then.
World. Yeah.
Maybe you could, there could be some synapses that aren't firing. I remember, I think it was Stardew Valley, and it wasn't the combat, but there was just like one mechanic that just like I overlooked or is something that if you go on like Game Facts or whatever, people are like, oh yeah, you know, like at the start of Stardew Valley, you always blah the blah because then you get this, like you get more rocks or you, it's like a mechanic that makes the game easier or like possible, but it's not spelled out and it's not part of the story, not part of a tutorial. Like maybe it's like, oh yeah, Garden Story, you're meant to upgrade the sword by doing this quest. For like maybe there's one of those kind of things.
Yeah, because it does. It sort of holds your hand a fair bit to begin with because you sort of are like, you're chosen to be this guardian and you're kind of taken through like the lore, but it does have a lot of stuff going on in the menus that it doesn't really tell you a great deal about. And even in terms of like the leveling up the town and stuff, it doesn't super, super explicitly spell that out early on. So yeah, I may have just missed a fucking great sword or something somewhere that would make this battle a lot easier.
Sometimes just games that don't sync up with the way you think as well. Like I loved Outer Wilds and I know plenty of people who are like, oh, it's not for me because they're just not thinking about the game in the way that the game wants you to.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so just sometimes you and a game can both be great as individuals but aren't compatible together and you've just got to accept it. There's no point in trying to force it. You're better off without the game, honestly. Yeah. And that game will find its players and that's fine. You don't have to be jealous of those players. It's not better or worse that they're playing the game. Mm-hmm. There's just a different game out there for you. Or maybe you're not a gamer. You know?
Right.
Maybe you're looking for a book.
Yeah.
I'm still at the point now of like I'm turning up to the game's house at 2 a.m. and just like bashing on the door and going like, give me another chance.
Yeah. I just think maybe that isn't healthy for either of you.
But maybe the game's inside thinking like, if he just texted me a picture of his dick, I'd be into him.
Hey, maybe you should give that a try.
Yeah.
Or maybe the game should learn how to communicate better. Honestly, if the game has a mechanic that it hasn't told you about, then that's kind of on the game.
Totally.
To some extent. You know,
you can't read the game's mind. Right. You can't read the game's mind.
But some people like to date Dark Souls and figure it out as they go. Or you hear from one of Dark Souls' exes like, oh no, Dark Souls wants you to do this.
Yeah.
But I don't need toxic games in my life anymore. I'm moving forward. But yeah, I'm gonna keep trying this because all the other stuff I'm liking enough that like, yeah, I don't want to just bounce off it because of this. One bit, I'm hoping that I can just, I'm hoping it'll just be a thing that where it clicks or I find that thing that I haven't like unlocked yet or whatever. Cause yeah, everything else about it is, really cute, really charming. The music's great. It's very placid. Yeah. If you're, I still would recommend giving it a little nudge especially if you're in a lockdown and you're looking for a little, it's just a very
little escape,
charming, cute little busy work game where you just, the up until this point of just, walking around and
games shouldn't feel like busy work. You should be happy to play each other. Maybe you guys could try playing another game together at the same time.
I'm not talking about Boyfriend Dungeon.
You're not?
No. No, I can a little bit.
I thought that was going to be part of the podcast.
No, no, I am. I'm kidding. I've only played it a little bit.
Why are you kidding around? We're trying to give Tommy proper advice here. Why are you fucking bringing jokes into this?
We're at work right now, Ben. Can you take this seriously and stop fucking around?
I used to joke all the time. No. I dipped my toe in a boyfriend dungeon. It's out on Game Pass and probably other places, right? It was part of the Indie World Showcase, so I assume
it was,
it's on Switch.
Yeah. So you'd imagine it'd be on the Switch.
But I wanted to give it a shot because there were elements of it that looked cool and looked interesting, and there are games similar to it in the past that I've enjoyed. I mentioned them when we talked about the Indie World Showcase. Catherine and Persona, you brought up, Nox, as sort of in the same realm. And Doki Doki Literature Club as just a visual novel dating sim, deconstruction that I enjoyed as well. And I like this game so far. I think it's good. I think the thing that turned me off Dream Daddy was the god-awful writing. I thought it was so obnoxiously written. The writing in this is really good. It is funny without trying too hard. The characters are pretty well drawn, even though I'm very early in. And it's fun to play. It's really well presented. I have nothing bad to say about it. Like, it's okay. A fun little dungeon crawler. It sort of reminded me of Death's Door. It's that perspective. It's that sort of Zelda traditional style. The characters, like, they are literally well drawn. They're sort of anime personifications of these swords that you use. There's dynamic set up with kind of weird dudes in the town. I'm into it. I want to play some more of it, and I recommend it so far. But yeah, I'm only like an hour in, so I don't want to spend too long on it because I might have a different opinion, or I might like it even more.
Sure. Okay. Well, if I just Googled Boyfriend Dungeon and look at some screenshots and what reactions and stuff are, the top three stories about Boyfriend Dungeon at the moment are all from Kotaku, and they are in reverse order. Boyfriend Dungeon, update and content warning following backlash. Second story, that was from 2 days ago. From 1 day ago, Boyfriend Dungeon voice actor responds to harassment over playing a villain. And the one before that, 3 hours ago, Boyfriend Dungeon is being subjected to Tumblr's messiest death throws.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's definitely hit its target fucking audience here.
Right. I did see that, the voice actor tweeting like, "Hey, I'm just playing a bad guy in the game. You don't need to tweet at me telling me you hate me."
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
I read one story. I think it was a Kotaku story that was a really good rundown of the entire sort of quote unquote controversy, which was that the game, I believe, includes a content warning at the start of it.
It doesn't adequately. This is from Kit Fox Games. They're people who made it. The content warning for Boyfriend Dungeon inadequately describes the events of stalking and emotional manipulation that exist in the story. We'll update the game next week with a more accurate content warning. We apologize for any hurt inflicted by our mistake. Thanks for playing. And look, like, you know, this sort of stuff can be really important, content warnings and stuff like that. But I feel like, I don't know anything about the context or the content or whatever. Mm-hmm. But something about that strikes me as... If one of the actors is also being harassed for being a villain in the game, it strikes me as though the same people might be being a little bit particular about this particular content warning. Who just said, "I don't know what I'm talking about."
Well, so I've encountered the character and then I read a lot about it. Also, by the time I started playing this game, that content warning had been significantly updated. It says now, this game... features elements of stalking and harassment, and this may be triggering or hurtful to some people who, you know, don't want to encounter that content. The game also, initially, without anyone complaining, featured a content warning saying, "This game features positive and supportive texts from a character called Mum. This may be triggering for some players." I think this game is unfortunately... within the realm of discourse and experience and, you know, engagement that is very sensitive, in some ways good, to the trauma of its players and its community. And I just don't... I agree that
there should be, you know, content warnings and people can opt out if they don't want to experience that content. I've seen a lot of responses to this that suggest that content should be stripped from the game, which is ridiculous. Like, you can't change art just because it makes some people feel bad. The character in the game is meant to make you feel bad. You know, like some movies, they're meant to scare you. They're meant to make you feel on edge. They're meant to make you have an emotional response. That is the you know, the purpose of all art. So, my opinion personally is that a content warning may be necessary for some people, not for me. I've never thought that necessary for anything I've ever consumed. But I think the response to this game in particular is over the top. Just my opinion.
To be fair, that first content warning that you read out was actually the second one. So they'd already patched it at one point. And the original said, warning, the following show features stunts performed either by professionals or under the supervision of professionals. Accordingly, MTV and the producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show. So I don't know if that was necessarily sufficient.
And they took that out?
They deleted all of that for the, for the subsequent ones.
Now that is a reference we've definitely made within the past week.
Yeah.
So now we're even Stevens.
Exactly.
So they deleted all of that and replaced it with this features references to a mum.
yeah. But yeah, I thought this is just where I am, you know, in terms of my psychological health, like including a warning that the game features a supportive mother. Seems like being overly sensitive, but that's again just me. I don't know. It's the kind of thing I don't really want to be involved in terms of discussion. I just not.
Sure. It just seems really like hard. One of those things where it's so down to personal experience and personal taste and stuff. This is someone creepily messaging you that you have to respond to further the story.
So
that. I totally get why that would make some people feel uncomfortable. It's just so hard to say where the responsibility lands in terms of an author.
Where do you draw the line where you go, these are the things that should definitely have a content warning, and then everything else that may upset someone somewhere is just fair game.
Right,
not to equate this with, you know, having been stalked or harassed or anything like that, but because of my personal history, if I watch stuff that's like that's hospital adjacent or set in a hospital, I get a little prickly as I'm watching it.
Right,
I don't think
George
that
George Clooney during his prime when he was in the
yeah, and you miss him every day.
I don't think that those things that I've consumed like that should have a warning. You know what I mean? Like I don't. Not to equate myself to those awful things that people have been through that do necessitate content warnings, but because I think that by and large those content warnings should exist. But you're right, Ben. I don't know where you cut it off and
because it is like, real. Like having a trauma triggered by a work of art is a real phenomena that happens to people who aren't the stereotype of, and even if they are the stereotype of being overly sensitive or whatever, who gives a shit? Like that, they shouldn't have to feel bad just because they're sensitive.
Right.
It's crazy. If anything, they get protected more.
Right. But it's kind of a good thing to be ultimately. Like being a sensitive person is like a good trait.
I watched fucking La La Land and it gave me like PTSD to a bad relationship that I had. And it was genuine. Right. Like I had a panic attack.
Because you dated George Clooney during his prime.
Exactly. When he was dancing a lot. Yeah. But I had a real point that I was going to make as well. Oh, but it's also like you play video games where you kill people. That can be, you know, that's much more serious. Or it's not much more serious, but it's like somehow that's not as a sensitive an issue as something like this. But also, like, I like that this game is a dating sim / dungeon crawler where the dating sim aspect also has a villain. You know, I think that's a really interesting piece of creative work to have someone.
It's not just like, pick these five people that are all kind of like good in their own way. It's like, the reality of dating is you come across some real pieces of work. Yeah. So why
and
not?
The other thing is, where's the harm in having a content warning? And if the company themselves are updating it because they feel as though it should be updated, then, you know, good for them.
They're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's so, it's so weird, this thing. And I think the pornography thing applies again. Like, you just know it when you see it, when people are being unfair about this sort of thing.
Right.
And yeah. I haven't looked enough at this to know that. But just, I have seen it happen a few times where I suppose my response to it quite quickly can be, are these people just harassing a fucking developer because they are, like, the irony of how much someone will harass a developer over themselves feeling attacked or harassed or
you know what I mean?
That level of hypocrisy happens so much within so many different forms of art that it sucks, but also it is real in the opposite way. So my point is that...
How do you tell that, yeah, these people aren't just narcissists who don't understand that the world doesn't revolve around them. Or are they people with legitimate grievances? It's like, I don't know, but I bet some of them are narcissists.
Be both sometimes, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
What a bigger conversation than anyone is equipped to ever deal with.
Fun game, though. I do recommend it.
Right.
Okay.
And if you've been triggered by this conversation or are having a shit time in lockdown like many of us are, I recommend you de-stress with a little game called Islanders that was also featured in the Indie World Showcase. Would you like
it? What is Islanders?
All right. So
what are Islanders?
No, what is? What
okay,
is?
What is?
What's yeah,
what
are does Islanders?
What is the
what
game
are Mario?
I'll tell you what it is. A game that I've owned for about a year. This came out on PC ages ago. I had it on Steam. I never played it until the day after this Indie World Showcase. It is a city-building game, but it is a very minimalistic version of that. You basically click start game and an island procedurally generated appears in front of you. And it's usually the first, like at the very start, it's kind of small, maybe a few little outcrops, lots of, you know, bits of flat green areas, bits of rocks, maybe a beach. And
an island.
Yes. But it's very like, I don't even, it's like a voxel-ish art style, right. Very flat polygonal stuff. And the very start of the game, you're offered like two choices between random stuff. Usually it's like a farm and or a brewery, or it's a fishery or a town center. And so you click one and then the other option goes away. And into the little inventory at the bottom of the screen, you get like, say if you pick brewery, you get like a little brew house, you get a little hop field, and maybe one other thing, a little house or something. Not everything you get in this inventory is like directly related to the thing you click on. And then you click on the brewery and you're sort of mousing around the island. You have a little, you know, the little transparent thing of the brewery, and everywhere you're mousing, it's showing a different number of points. And that is based on the placement. So if it's a brewery and it's, you know, on nice flat land and there's stuff around nearby to build, you know, you get 9 points. And then when you place your hop field, you put it next to a brewery and you get extra points. And in the bottom left of the screen is a points goal. And so for that round, you're like supposed to get 30 points. And if you put the stuff in a good place on the island, you easily get that 30 points. And you click around to like round two and you get another option of what to place. And this time it might be, you know, a city center, and in there's like a tower and 4 mansions and 4 houses. And you got to place them on the island, and you got to have enough room, and you got to have them, you know, nearby each other so they multiply their points. And again, you get enough points to hit the next round. And you basically keep doing that until you run out of space on the island. Or in the bottom right, you've got enough points to move to a new island. And then if you move to the new island, you keep your points total, start again, the whole process, you know, loops. And
right.
That's basically all there is to it. It's about putting stuff down in the right spot, trying to get points, and trying to keep your sort of game going by hitting that points total every round. And it's fucking great. It's so relaxing. It's really chill. The music's really relaxing. It's complicated enough, or it has enough sort of... you know, tweaks to the sort of formula that you're always really satisfied when you pull off a round, but it's never so hard that you're like, what the fuck do I do now? The hardest it gets is you just drag, you know, a building around your island until you go, oh, 24 points, bang. But yeah, I'm really loving it for a simple, meditative, relaxing, satisfying game that is not taking too much of my brain power.
Mm.
But yeah,
that sounds great.
That sounds exactly what I'm capable of at the moment.
And like, I'm listening to podcasts, you know, I'm doing other shit, but it's just this very simple. It's like playing Tetris or something, you know. It's like, I know what this is going to ask of me, and I know I can do it to a point. And yeah, it'll get a bit complicated as I run out of space, but overall, I'm happy to just start again. You know, it's that kind of game.
Great. Are there like, I feel like these sorts of games, like the chunkiness of putting something down and like the sound effects that go along with it and all that sort of stuff really makes or breaks how invested in one of these types of things I get.
So what it does is it, you get, so say you've got like a bunch of shit put down. You've got like, you know, city center, a bunch of buildings, a market over here. There's like, sometimes it'll automatically generate some like flowers and shit on the ground, you know, and you got a fishery nearby, whatever, and you pick like, oh, I'm going to put down a little shaman tent. And you put it down and you realize like, oh, if I get it right in between all those things, it's going to get like 54 points. And you put it down and then all of those things around it basically like generate the points and they go like... And go into the points thing.
Yeah.
And the points thing is not just numbers, it's a circle. So you see the circle go... And it is.
This is what I'm looking for.
So
this
satisfying.
This is what I'm looking for. Give me a little fucking animation of a thing getting filled up, and I'm gonna play your fucking game.
Yeah, like a little cha-ching, like the little coins, you know, like going.
Just give me a bucket. Give me a bucket getting filled. Honestly, I should just buy. I think I've even said this before, that I think if I bought a bucket and filled it up with water, that would satisfy me as much as anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just that feeling of something being right to the brim.
Yeah.
When you can see the surface tension along the top of a 2-full cup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. Now we're talking pornography.
Yeah.
Now I know it when I see it.
This is the game of that. And... yeah, like you get satisfaction of like zooming out and being like, look at this sick fucking island I've covered in stuff, you know. Because sometimes it'll be you'll put down a little factory and little sand, like little wheels in sand. They're like, I guess they're, you know, hydro or fucking they're turning the sand into glass or it's some kind of factory thing. But if you put it nearby another one of those, you get deducted points. So it really is, it's all about, well, I've used this end of the beach. I can maybe fit one on that end, but if I put it in the middle, you know, I'm out of space. Maybe I can use the other side of the island. You do sort of gradually run out of places to put things, and it becomes a race to get enough points to move to a new island, which, yeah, it's there's some level of strategy to it, but, yeah, like I said, it's not, you know, stressful or it's not too brain-draining. It's just satisfying. I do recommend it on whatever platform you can get it on. I've been, enjoying it on PC.
Speaking of this, one thing that is a bit of news that I forgot to talk about, Cookie Clicker is coming to Steam.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes.
Which means
yes.
Cookie Clicker will have cloud saves on it.
Yes.
Oh, so you'll never have to fucking leave your browser open again.
Yes.
It's true infinite Cookie Clicker. That's on the 2nd of September, so.
Great news.
Yeah. I'm clicking away. That's right when lockdown is scheduled to end for us as well. So I'll have 2 more weeks of lockdown to play that game.
Yeah.
Well, similar to kind of similar vibe to what you've been talking about with Islanders, Ben. I've been playing on the Apple Arcade. I've been playing Word Web, which is it's sort of reverse. I guess it's reverse Scrabble, right? Where you get the words and you're putting them down. You're not getting letters. You're getting full
it's
words.
It's
word-based
Scrabble.
Down.
Yeah,
word-based Scrabble. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I've been playing it too along with you because we both, for whatever reason, still got Apple Arcade.
But it's exactly that. It's what I've been doing for like a half hour before bed every night, sitting there doing a couple puzzles and you gradually unlock new kind of theme word categories or sort of types of modes that you can do. And yeah, it's got the little, you put a word down and then each tile goes.
Oh.
It's like got all those satisfying little beeps and boops when you... finish a level and stuff. And so yeah, if you've still got an Apple Arcade subscription, or even if you don't, you think this kind of, that's the sort of stuff you like doing on your mobile, I'd recommend it. It's fun. It's satisfying.
Good taking a shit game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that too, but it's not particularly complex, so no more to say about that. But it's just a good one. If there's plenty bad ones. Like I was playing Two Dots for a bit as well, which I think you recommended on here a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And that was good, but I got to a point where it was really seeming like the levels were geared to be impossible so that I had to spend money on the little skills and power-ups and shit. So I ended up deleting it because it really wanted me to give it some money at some point.
What,
but I got 200 levels in or some shit.
Yeah,
so.
Where am I at? I don't think I got that far. Because I've been rotating between that and Candy Crush. So when I run out of lives on one, I just start playing the other one.
Well, look at this 53-year-old substitute teacher.
Yeah. Taming Monsters. Good loading screen. I'm on level 226.
Right.
I haven't spent any money on it. But I have been, like I said, rotating it out with another game that has a similarly progress gating mechanic.
Yep. There were just a couple levels in the 180s that pissed me off enough that I deleted it and sent a very, very harshly worded abusive letter to the makers of Boyfriend Dungeon for casting someone as a villain. Is that the actor, I guess? I'm sorry to go back to this before we were definitely about to wrap up. I guess the actor for that character who they didn't put the sufficient content warning about is the person who's been getting the abuse?
Yeah, apparently.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's so weird to do the wrong thing for what seems like the right... you know what I mean? Mm. Like to be able to identify, hey, maybe this is trauma... inducing material that needs a better warning, and to have your reaction to be that, so I know what I'll do, is actual harassment instead of fictional. What a bizarre brain to be in control of.
Yeah, I have to assume it's like younger people without, you know, fucking critical thinking skills or...
I don't know,
but I also don't understand it. It doesn't... It's like you have principles to the point that you will defend them and then don't have principles in the way that you will defend your principles. It just, I agree. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
The world is a fucked up place right now and I'm going to play 12 minutes for next week.
Yep.
Oh,
escape out of it.
Yeah, apparently that is a little more shocking than people thought it would be. But
that makes sense to me.
That sounds fucking great.
Yeah. Next week will be a bit of fun. We'll play some games. A game called Humankind, the most bizarre story of all.
Yeah.
How we came to be.
I've started playing that. It's like a polished, visually exciting, smooth new Civilization game. And I hope there's more to it than that. But if it's only that, that's still good. So yeah, I've started that. I'll be playing probably 40 hours of that between now and next week.
Great. All right. Well, yeah, we better wrap it up there. For this week, filthycasuals.com.au for the links to the Patreon that we talked about, the videos, the premium Bandcamp episodes that we do. Get on board, all of that stuff. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
We should point out that the previous episode does contain references to trauma-inducing conversations. So if you don't listen to the previous episode, if you don't like jokes being repeated, if you don't like holier-than-thou hosts, if you're not really into pauses that happen because we're recording over Zoom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.